Cock, we will call to order the regular meeting of the Susquehanna Planning Commission, February 11th, 2020. Our first order of business, pledge allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
The next item of business is the director's report.
Yes, good evening, Chairman Bibb, members of the commission. We have the report for you, the first part of it. We've not had any Board of Supervisors planning cases at this point. No zoning cases at the Board of Zoning Appeals. There is one this month that's coming up, but that'll be the next month's report. We didn't have any technical review TRC meetings on January, or clients on January 9th, but towards the end of the month, on January 29th, we were able to accommodate the folks at CVAC and work with them on their kid store. Major utility substation area, if you're familiar with the one on Route 6, as you're heading to Scottsville on the right, that's the existing one. They're looking at purchasing 4 acres of Mr. Davis's farm on the south side, right at the transmission line. And in that process, CVAC also described to us a lot of the new substations are going to have the Firefly fiber broadband equipment huts and storage area in that, those new substations that are kind of co-locating this nice, and up to this point, we're kind of retrofitting and getting them into the existing ones, so there's a lot more space to do that. Going into submittals, some of your recent cases that we've seen here at the Planning Commission, the Tractor Supply Company retail store on South Boston Road has been submitted. So we're now reviewing that for the new site there. And then one that's a little bit older, but they're expanding and adding another building, is the Zion Crossroads self-storage facility. They're adding a new building over there on Better Living Drive. So to keep you updated on some of the meetings that we're conducting or attending as staff, the TJPDC Rural Transportation Technical Committee, Ms. Robinson attended that with Chuck Proctor and VDOT staff from the Lynchburg residency is also was able to present information on community engagement and online online surveying. People may have heard of MetroQuest surveying, a company that does online surveying. So we're anxiously awaiting some of that to be done for the Zion Crossroads gateway plan, area plan that we're working on with them as well. We've also been working throughout the fall and into the winter on the Flavanna County, Louisa County boundary line. That's going on. It just went to the board Wednesday night. It's all related to the boundary line adjustment surveying for census, and then there's also some additional E911 PSAP kind of work that's been going on, not with us, but with Mr. Brandstaff and their office. So it's all combining and trying to make our northern boundary with Louisa better for census reporting, and that we get the funding long term here in the county rather than Louisa or another locality. Just last week, February 4th, the Agricultural Forestal District Advisory Committee met, and I believe it was the first time since 2012. Mr. Mel Sheridan and some of the folks that serve on that committee met and took care of one down in the Carysbrook area and added some additional acreage for 10 years in that program that property owner of Danny had. This past Friday, we met with a water and sewer consultant, RKDK out of Richmond, for the Columbia wastewater engineering report, and went over that with Mr. Dahl, the folks from Public Works, and got some very good work done on that, for that project, so. Just for your knowledge, and we included in the packet, the Certified Planning Commissioner Program is coming up. There's two sessions. This is the one that's basically operates like a college semester kind of timeframe, so the summer program starts at the end of June and goes until the middle of September, and then there's one the end of September, on right up to right after Thanksgiving, that timeframe. We're also letting the Board of Zoning Appeals know about some of the certified BZA programs, training that's upcoming, so. Other than that, that's all I have for you, unless you all have any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
The next item is our public comments. This will be the first of two public comment sections for tonight. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on anything in the county, other than the item for the public hearing tonight, at the public hearing time, you will be able to speak on those items. So anyone wishing to come forward to speak on anything else in the county except for the public hearing item, please come forward, state your name and address. You are limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the first public comment section for tonight. The next item on our agenda is the minutes of the January 14th, 2020. Does anybody have any comments, any changes that we need to make, or does anybody have a motion about the minutes?
Make a motion to be approved as it's written.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Johnson to accept the minutes as written. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, the next item is the first of two public hearings we'll have tonight. The first one is CMP 1902. 2428 Richmond Road, LLC. Mr. Miles will be bringing that for us.
Yes, good evening again, Chairman Bibb and members of the commission. This is the request for the rezoning of A1 to I1 out on Richmond Road, 250. So the current request is a conditional rezoning with proper conditions, and we worked with the applicant all through the basically the fall leading up to the December 5th community meeting that they held out at Beaver Dam Baptist Church just down the road from the request site. These are there's two cases, basically, a rezoning and a zoning text amendment. This presentation here for the public hearing, I'm going to focus mainly on the conditional rezoning, but to let you know that the applicant did file the zoning text amendment for the vehicle impound facility, which would be by SUP in the A1, B1, and I1 zoning districts, and then established by right in the IT. So a little bit of background or history. I think majority of the folks here in the room tonight are familiar, but just in case. The rezoning case that was filed in 2017 and then heard in March of 2018, it was denied by the Board of Supervisors. The request at the time involved the entire subject parcel of 29 acres, and then all of the permitted I-1 and I-2 uses were on the table. So. Fast forwarding to the 2019 case, the conditional rezoning application only involves the front portion, the 7.5 acres, which we'll show you that in a minute on the graphic, and the applicant and their attorney's office did request certain I-1 land uses to be proffered out, and that's by right and special exception, so. So here's the subject property. The original subject property was the entire area bounded in red. The current subject is the 7.5 acres fronting on 250 back to that, that line that comes across the other parcels next door. So in this area, this shaded area that's red is the subject of the property for the request. And the other remaining area would remain, yep. Oh, good, you have a pointer here too. Okay, thanks. So the, let's see, I don't think it's the one on. The other one out of the bag. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it's only gonna, it's not going on the glass here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, those screens are
Not to reflect exactly, so. So we'll let Mr. Robinson do it with the white mouse pointer there. Sorry about that. So the 7.5 acres is the request for the case tonight. This is just to provide the comprehensive plan area, the Zion Crossroads area that's shown there on the pink. That's contained basically the back of the subject parcel. That's all contained in the Zion Crossroads area, and to the south is rural residential existing agricultural properties. So if some of you remember at the December 5th meeting, at the community meeting, the by right uses that would not be permitted are these ones listed here: car washes, financial institutions, flea markets, and so on. A lot of different retail stores. They've left, of the four retail stores, they've left one available. So if they're doing auto service and repair, they can also sell retail accessories, oil, fuel injector cleaners, all that kind of stuff. So that if they had the auto repair facility, they could do accessory or retail store sales other than the larger ones that you see there. They've also excluded indoor shooting ranges and so forth on their own by right.
Do you have what's remains allowed?
Yes, I'm going to do that in like two slides. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
The next one is the special use permit uses that have been proffered out. So this, not only did they exclude indoor shooting ranges, they've now excluded outdoor shooting ranges, so there won't be any firing of weapons at all on this property. Sanitary landfills, permanent sawmills, solid waste, material recoveries. These are all really heavy I-1 uses, even by SUP, so they're being removed. Aviation facilities and major utilities are excluded. These aren't, these uses are the ones that would be permitted. I can actually run through all the other ones that I just kind of put up with the ones that they're intending to do. The auto repair service, landscaping material supply, self-storage facilities, machine shops, light manufacturing, and wholesale warehouses. These are some of the uses they're looking at doing, or could, you know, adapt delivery use that building. I can quickly run down the existing land uses that are in the I-1 by right and special exception. So it's automobile repair service, auto sales, communication services, corporate offices, landscaping material supplies, as you see on the screen, professional offices, parking facilities, recreational vehicle sales, specialty retail store, like I mentioned earlier, self-storage facilities, vending carts. The vending carts are things that you would see at food trucks, that kind of thing. Veterinary offices, one that I think the community asked December 5th to exclude, and it's still in place, contractor storage yards. lumber yards, machine shops, light manufacturing, which encompasses a lot of warehousing and things like that, upholstery shops, wholesale warehouses, and then going into, and of that count, currently in the I-1, there's 37 by right uses that excluded 15 for a yield of 22 that they would still have as available. Going into the uses permitted by special use permit, there's 16 there, they proffered out 6, and the 10 that remain are, and again, they would have to request an SUP through the Planning Commission Board to get these uses. Commercial amusements, auction houses, manufactured home sales, outdoor entertainment, outdoor recreational, fast food restaurant, medium manufacturing, just a little higher than light that you found in the by right uses, truck terminals, outdoor gatherings, and telecommunication facilities. So those are the ones that remain, but again, the ones that you see on the screen, Mr. Harry Austin, who's here representing the applicant, those are the ones they're interested currently through this conditional I-1 rezoning.
There was a community concern on one of those uses.
Yes, sir, Mr. Zimmer. The at the time we held a meeting, they looked at contractor storage yards. There have been recently in the past few years contractor what we call laydown yards for pipeline and power companies doing work. So those were found, I believe, previously to be in violation and were abated. So, but no, the contractor's storage yard was one that was brought up at the time, December 5th. And then we allowed the applicant to group, get together and figure out what they wanted to do as final proffers. And then we left it open to the end of the holidays for anyone in the community that was at that meeting to send what uses they wanted proffered out, and they submitted them in the new year on January 2nd. So kind of running through what are the current zoning ordinance definitions and uses? The one that they're proposing or interested in doing is the auto repair service use. This covers a full range of being able to tune-ups, brakes, oil changes, all the way to rebuilding engines and trailers, and providing body straightening, collision services, body frame, fender repair. We look at that as a lot of that's being inside the building, so there may be work or storage outside in the screened area, but those are things that would be done generally inside the building. So next slide. So again, the I-1 rezoning with what the zoning and text amendment would do would be this vehicle impound facility. This is the definition that we prepared with them over the fall and into the holidays. And basically a facility that provides for temporary screen storage of operable or inoperable vehicles to be claimed by their title holders or agents, or those vehicles that are awaiting insurance adjustments or claims, typically within 30 days or less for those insurance purpose claims. These are some of the things that I saw or staff saw at the meeting that people wanted us to look at or address through the presentation of the rezoning. So site screening requirements in the I-1, once this property, if it were being rezoned to I-1, would have the screening imposed upon them to help protect the adjacent residential properties. And then also in our look at the ordinance, you can look at some of the residential uses in the corridor here, sometimes as a positive that you're near an area where you could work within your own community. Screening of outside dumpsters, loading areas, and temporary storage yards shall include fencing, landscaping, or walls, combination thereof. So any of those type of things they would be able to use to screen outside equipment. Lighting and noise. So lighting at the property line between the residential or on the other side, the other surrounding sides, the A1, anywhere near A1 or residential districts, it shall be 1 foot candle at the property line. It's pretty low amount of light projection. And then the zoning ordinance also says you can have low security lighting, especially after hours. You're talking about wall packs on the back of the building or other, you know, near doorways and other lighting in the parking lot, but more centralized towards the building. Noise, the noise ordinance, the county noise ordinance does state construction, demolition, and or maintenance activities. None of that can occur before 6 a.m. I got a typo there. After 11 p.m., I meant to switch over to the...
I was like, you can't get it.
Yeah, a little short window there, sorry about that. Yeah, 6 a.m., anything before 6 a.m. and then after 11 p.m. If any of that's going on and it's gone on for a considerable amount of time, 10 or 15 minutes or more, anyone has the right to contact the sheriff's department, have them come visit it on the site, and then usually we get involved the next morning or Monday or whatever as far as assisting them for zoning enforcement.
So are you saying that they have until actually 11:15 or at...
No, at 11, ma'am, yes.
Okay.
6 a.m., 6:01, they can start running equipment, and at 11 p.m., they need to cease. Now, we generally would recommend that as you approach 11 o'clock at night, 10:30, you're scaling down, you're back, you know.
Right.
That kind of, yeah, so that, okay. So that you have that. And, you know, most contractors will probably, depending on, you know, especially in the summertime, they want to get going before it gets hot, but they may do some you know, stuff at 6:15 or 6:30. But yeah, if anything, you know, if it's 5 a.m. and dumpsters and bang is going on, you just notify the county. So in summary, these are some of the meeting dates. You know, we talked about Thursday, December 5th with the neighborhood meeting. Planning Commission is here tonight at 7 o'clock, and then they're scheduled to go on to the Board of Supervisors. That's up to you all at the Planning Commission level here for the request. And I'd be happy to answer any questions after now or after the public hearing, and then I'll be doing the second zoning text amendment. That's the other public hearing. So if you have any questions of me now, or you want to wait to hear from the public, and then I can come up and answer some questions.
Probably need to ask the applicant first. So.
Okay. Yep, Mr. Austin is here.
Yeah, that's a pretty thorough summary that we've got here. What sort of provoked this application as opposed to the last one is there is a buyer for this property who hopes to do auto repair on the property. And so what 2428 Richmond Road LLC hopes to do is to be out from under this property. And these people would like to have a towing facility. It's not contingent on, the reason it's not contingent on the towing facility. They would like to, potential buyer would like to have it. And in our review at least, there's nowhere in the county that allows that. So it's not in the zoning ordinance right now. You know, despite the fact they would be able to use the property for these hours, these people for the automobile repair business would be planning on using it just from usual hours, like 8:30 to 5, 8 to 5. That neighborhood doesn't mean they couldn't use it other times, but that's our understanding of what they...
So the basic towing in Suvannah County at the moment has to be taken to either Albemarle County, Charlottesville, or another neighboring county, because there is no basic place to bring up vehicle to in the county.
Yeah, I don't know if Mr. Miles could confirm this, but when we looked through the zoning ordinance, we didn't see anywhere in the ordinance that allowed that period. Now, of course, even with the auto repair shop, we could still do accessory towing, you know, to get cars to the repair shop, but other kind of towing that's, I mean, one thing we would say is there's probably a need for that somewhere in the county. And even with what they're proposing for the amendment to the ordinance, it would still be a special use permit for this I-1 that we're seeking for this piece of property. And what we'd be looking to sell is the whole piece of property, not just the questions for me. I thought Mr. Miles did a pretty good job as we're tracking the history of it.
Mr. Miles?
Yes, sir.
If they come back with an SUP on this piece of property, could we limit the hours? I know by right it's the 6 in the morning, it's 11 o'clock, but, mm-hmm. but with an SUP, the Planning Commission or the Board of Supervisors could adjust those hours. Is that correct?
Correct. So we would work, if they did achieve I-1 zoning and then came back at a later date in the summer or whatever, or late spring, to prepare an SUP and present it. The conditions, just like the rezoning case here, these are proper conditions they're offering up to you all as a commission and board. The reverse occurs when an SUP goes through. Actually, we craft them with the applicant to make sure it's amenable for them to be able to operate correctly. But basically, the conditions are imposed upon them by the Planning Commission as a recommendation, and it goes to the board. So we would want to look at any type of things at that time in the rezoning process. We can't get that detailed, but we could in the SUP process.
Thank you.
6 to 11, though, is not specific to this. That's the noise ordinance.
That's the noise ordinance, correct.
So they could operate
right.
if whatever they did not violate the noise ordinance all hours.
Correct. The I-1 rezoning is not... most zoning districts, unless they specify in them, are 24/7. So, I mean, you know, you look at Sheets and Wawa's of the world, they're operating 24/7.
Right.
But most of the time between midnight and 6 a.m., not a lot's going on except stocking and cleaning and, you know, other people, shopping that are shift workers, what have you. So here in this same scenario, what we would want to do in the rezoning part of it, and I'll explain more in the vehicle impound facility text amendment. We would like to set up for people to be able to pull people off of the major corridors 64, 15, 250, 6, or wherever they're serving in the county, not just at 250 here. So, yes, because if an accident occurs at 2 a.m. on 64, you've got to go get that vehicle and take it to the facility. But from the SUP part of the vehicle impound facility, we would look at it as it's a management decision to make sure that they're in compliance with not making noise even after 11 o'clock.
So would it be, and you may not be able to answer this, may not be a fair question for you or anybody here, but would it be your experience, or would you know if the things that would be associated with towing a vehicle in there at 2 in the morning, which what I can think of is getting it off, but more importantly, backup alarms.
Yeah.
That something's going to violate the noise ordinance. Because if that happens, it's going to be over by the time the police come out there. So that's my concern.
Yeah, backup beepers. You got to look at federal law with OSHA.
Right.
Things. So again, I'll kind of touched upon something on my experience in doing zoning cases over my career. There's things that it's really about management and how you manage the facility. For instance, you could have a Taco Bell drive-thru with a speaker that's, they're open, 2 a.m. or more, but adjacent to a neighborhood or office park or whatever, where people might be working 24/7 as well. You don't want a whole lot of noise going on, so adjusting the whole ordinance is all about adjusting light intensity, noise, providing the proper screening that we do through the site plan review or the building permit, commercial building permit process as a change of use for this building to be able to do that. So, but ultimately, I think some of it comes down to how you manage your facility. Now, if you don't manage it correctly and you're getting weekly sheriff department patrol visits, that's the beauty of the SUP, that if you're starting to violate the SUP, then we as a county or its agents can ask the operator to come in compliance, or you may lose the SUP, or you're not going to lose your I-1 zoning to do the auto repair, but the towing becomes a burden to the community and not a good business use, then that's always there. Again, in my experience, I've few and far between I've seen SUPs pulled from people, but in the previous situations I have, unfortunately.
And that's something that we're really not talking about tonight. That would come up in discussion in an SUP.
Correct.
That would come later, so.
Yes, sir.
That's a different matter than what we have. Does anybody else have any questions for the director or the applicant?
I might just make one more brief comment. The problem everybody got here is the subdivision. This, you know, this land is located right in the most heavy industrial, or the heaviest use that is in the comprehensive plan. And when 2428 bought this, they bought it as an investment. They can't let nothing happen on it. So they could crank up the salvage yard again, which they really don't want to do. So we're looking for a use that we can find that a buyer would be interested in. And that's been our goal. That's what we got. So
the salvage yard.
Hoping this might be an opportunity for some kind of a compromise.
So the salvage yard could be operated right now, right?
Well, that's a matter of debate.
Okay.
We don't need to go into that. But so we did.
You brought that up. It's, yeah, I think it's a fair question to the attorney whether that's in fact true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. But that's why we did, and in coming up with these properties, we did try and cut out the most obnoxious uses in that permitted in that zone. So we made some accommodations. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to open up the public hearing in just one second, but I got to go ahead and pick up my sign-up sheet. Thank you. So, anyone signing up, you can come forward and as I call your name speak, and I will allow other people to also come up so you don't have to be signed up in advance. So we are opening a public hearing at this time, and the first person is Sal Zambino. Okay.
All right.
And you will be limited at 3 minutes. You need to state your name and address.
Yep. My name is Sal Zambito. I live at 394 Glen Circle. That is down towards the bottom right of the subdivision, very bottom of it. I am the president of the HOA. So any complaints that happen, you know, I felt it for me. When the facility was a storage yard for the pipeline, there were some issues with the lighting, people coming in all hours of the night, trucks backing up, beeping early in the morning before sunrise, and some of the trucks were even blocking the entrance to the subdivision. So it was quite a hindrance on us. So we have kind of an idea of what works next to us and what really doesn't. Based off of the list of what's still permitted, I saw that automobile sales is still on there. Automobile sales, meaning car dealerships, they all need tall lights at night for security purposes. So I'd like to ask if that could be also restricted too. While the, let's see, there's another one right here. While the solid waste collection facility for the special use permit was marked as no longer permitted, it's still permitted under the industrial uses for a solid waste collection facility. And I'd like to have that one also added to the removed list. I think lumberyard and contractor storage yard will also be added, if I'm not mistaken. And then the only other concerns we have, or that I have, are the lights under parking facilities, recreational vehicle sales, self-storage facilities, because all that has to do with security. We're going to have lights on all throughout the night, going into people's windows, other places next door. It could be a huge hassle. We know that that the property needs to be sold, and we're just hoping that we can. We know it can be. It can be rezoned and still be a good neighbor to us, and that's all we're trying to do. We don't want there not to be anybody there, but if they are there, we want to make sure that it works next to a subdivision. One more item that I saw was amusements commercial. that's still allowed? Does that mean that there can be a King's Dominion next door? I don't know what that means. So maybe somebody can answer that. That would be great. That's it for what I have to say. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Have a good day.
One question, is Mr. Miles, that lighting that he talked about, that would be limited at one half.
1.5-foot candle at the property.
Right.
That's the.
For anything on that property. Next person on the list is Ryan Joseph. State your name and address. You'll be limited to 3 minutes.
My name is Joseph Ryan. I live at 113 Glen Circle. This is my property here. The thing, I think the big thing with this, just to note, unlike we saw with LPQ, we have a lot of space between the proposed industrial use and the residents here. We have almost no space. And therefore, you know, whatever use is approved, between Front Plain and Richmond Road, has a real potential to impact the residents around. And we experienced that with M&M, unfortunately. So the really the main thing for us is just no bright lights at night, no noises at night on the weekends. The thing that was raised with the 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Noise use, there's some work going on to the east of M&M. They're doing something with that, some work with that. I don't know if they're. I remember it was like 10 o'clock at night, you know, during the week, and it was loud. I mean, it wasn't even 11 o'clock, but it was loud. I mean, I called the sheriff's department. Just so it really has that potential impact. But the thing I will say is this, and I've mentioned this thing before. I used to be an urban planner before I came here in South Carolina, and we never would have allowed residential mixed-use. Okay. So the reality is, yes, this subdivision should never have been built. If you're going to allow industrial uses in this particular corridor, it should never have been built. But it's there. So therefore, because this was allowed, I think the county, I think, has an extra, there's an extra measure requirement, I think, on the county to try to work around this. Again, in an ideal world, this just wouldn't be there. And I certainly understand the need for industrial uses in the county. So but because you have this next to one another, you know, an extra effort needs to be made. And I really, again, learned that firsthand that, you know, with what M&M was doing a year ago. So I think that's just the main thing for us. And I'll just say this, like with Cosner Brothers, I mean, I rented there for a year and then bought, and it was never an issue. It was never an issue. Yeah, it screened, it was quiet, and then M&M moves in, and boom, I don't know what's this. So I think it can work. You just have to just make it fit. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward to speak on this matter? If you'd like to come forward, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll be limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Clark, and my husband and I and our family live at 504 Glen Circle, which is kind of up a little bit more right there. My only question is I haven't heard anything addressed about a buffer zone. What kind of plants, trees, that kind of stuff will separate us from the 7.5 acres, but then the 29 acres that would separate the development from the property at any point? I'd like to know what is intended for that, because that would help screen some of the light, some of the noise, anything that might go on. So that's my only thing. Thank you.
Maybe you could address the screening that would be required on the border areas of this.
Yeah, so in the I-1 areas, yard regulations and setbacks are, you're basically from all, again, residential and industrial areas, when permitted uses adjoining agricultural residential districts, the minimum side yard is 50 feet, and all parking lots, which includes lights throughout the parking lot, not less than 25 feet from any residential or agricultural district. So.
What about screening?
Well, the screening, that's, again, can be constructed in that 50-foot setback area.
Do we require a certain amount right now?
Well, for instance, I'll use the example of what we're currently doing with Tractor Supply adjacent to the residence in Sycamore Square. There is a very large amount of, and in fact, the engineering firm had us field check some of the other facilities that are the CVS and the Dollar General adjacent to Sycamore Square. Our zoning ordinance and landscaping and buffering is rather vibrant, and so we would try to go through some of that, those requirements. There's really not any way for them to reduce that amount of screening. As you all have seen, they can get exceptions to a sidewalk, but the buffering and the screening that would be required, it's usually not something that you can receive an exception to. So.
And if this was approved and they came back with an SUP, I probably asked Mr. Payne about this, we could require a certain amount of screening and type of screening and so forth like that.
Oh, certainly. But there are two specific provisions of the ordinance that relate to screening and light. One is the special use permit process, which certainly does enable you to address that kind of that subject matter. But there's also there would have to be a site plan approved for this, and the ordinance has provisions for requiring screening and sheltering from the light. I think Mr. Miles is going into some of that. But that's a site plan process. Chronologically, the way this has to happen in this case, assuming everything goes well for the developer, he gets his zoning approved, then the amendment to the ordinance, which allows the use by special use permit, then the special use permit, then he has a site plan. Each of those steps would have to be approved, and in at least two of them, that is the special use permit and the site plan, you would have some say over what the screen and whatnot.
And also, like the fencing of the impound facility,
yes.
We could have a say on the type of screening or type of fencing that would be used.
In my experience, impound yards need to be secured, so that would almost certainly have to be, if they're just as a matter of industry practice, would have to have a fence for security. And that could also be, as far as to say should, be also so designed as to accommodate screening.
Right. And like I've seen some of the chain link fence where they put these slat things through the thing that blocks light and so forth like that. So
that's one way to do it.
From a construction practice and long-term durability, we usually are going away from the slats, so that after 3 to 5 years they crack in the wintertime and break, and they look even worse than the screening. So we would probably work with the applicant to do a buffer along the property line, and then have the fencing further in. That's almost like a double layer of screening.
It could be an earth and berm. I'm not saying that you have to do, but that's one alternative.
Yeah. My main question was because I wanted people to understand that some of this is in the what we're doing, this zoning amendment here today, and then the SUP process, you can do a lot more about requirements. I just wanted everybody to understand that. Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll be limited to 3 minutes. I think the applicant wants to say something.
I had just like a 30-second clarification. Mr. Zambito, that one of the two uses that he said he would like to have off of here was a solid waste collection facilities. And that was actually, I think he might have been looking at the list as it was on the lines through it on December 5th. But if you look at the actual proffer sheet that we made, you will see that that's on there. We have proffered out.
But I think what he was saying, you profited out at one place, but when you got down to the industrial uses, it was still in there.
Yeah.
So right. It would be completely proffered out as one of the, no matter which place it is.
That's correct, Chairman. If I picked up on the same thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in another place that we...
It's actually two different uses. One is a solid waste collection facility, and one is a larger use in the zoning ordinance definition, solid waste material recovery instead of just collection. Collection is like Vanderlyn, and then...
So y'all meant to take all of that out?
Yeah.
That would be helpful to have that clarification right today.
Zoning indicated on this here is incorrect.
It's
obsolete, right? Because that A1 at the bottom is actually I2 or I1.
Wait just 1 second and let me finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Close the vote. If anyone else wishes to come forward and speak, you're limited to 3 minutes. Do come forward, state your name and address. If not, we'll end the public hearing at this time and go to discussion by the Planning Commission. Go ahead and ask your question, Mr. Zimmerman. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Attachments A to the staff report, I think, is a more correct depiction of the actual and proposed zones in the hearing.
C. Attachment C.
Any other members of the Planning Commission have any questions for Mr. Payne, Mr. Miles, Mr. Robinson, or any discussion about this?
My discussion would be, I think it's quite unique that, from what I've heard from the president of the HOA, that the subdivision has tried to work with. They're not... Like, we don't want anything. They're just asking. When you look at the homes and how any construction would go there, you know, whether or not you have a little small family, you're working, you're trying to just, you know, live life. So, you know, I think the consideration of having everybody just try to be as reasonable as possible, I think that's important in this case. So.
Is it prudent to continue moving forward if there's discrepancies in the property? I don't think so, because that's why I said this. I think I heard the applicant say that this is really a clarification rather than a change.
Right.
And I think that ought to be documented, so that the applicant needs to follow it up and write it. But subject to that understanding, I think you can make your recommendation based on that.
Now, I would I like to ask a question about the contractor storage yard, since we have had some problems and we kind of got involved in that a little bit, something like that. So, is that something that they want to leave in there?
The applicant?
Yes.
Yeah, the applicant does want to leave that in there.
Doesn't want.
It still is left in there.
Yeah.
It is currently left in there.
That's the reason why it was denied last time, is because he did that. He had the construction facility in his house, storage yard. He has too much problems.
Chairman, but really at this stage, the proffers that you have from January 2nd. The applicant can choose to, we'll clarify the one to be removed, the solid waste collection facilities. But between now and prior to going to the Board of Supervisors, they have the option of amending their propers and sending them to Mr. Payne and I to review and proper out any additional uses. They may choose not to do any with the one for clarification, but that's up to them. We are allowed to speak with them as a commercial property, or industrial property, excuse me, for propers. So we have been doing that. So in our conversation between the December 5th meeting and when they filed their January 2nd propers, we're a little disheartened that some of those that the community asked for weren't included. But again, that's the applicant's choice as the property owner. I can't, well, Mr. Payne, we can't force them to do that. So really at this point, I would say the commission make any other comments.
If it ever came to whether we're using this, I think the county would probably be right on top of that because of the past problems we had with the recreational vehicle park ban and all of the other stuff.
There were a number of problems that, regardless of what use could be made of this, would be addressed because of the site plan.
Yes.
And one of the problems that Mr. Zambito mentioned was some of the traffic problems getting on and off the property from 250. And that's the kind of thing that would have to be accounted for.
In the site plan.
VDOT clearly would have a say in that. And then, of course, the county would too. So I'm not going to tell you that there could never be a problem, but you will have an opportunity to evaluate that if change of use is made in the future.
If they come to with an SUP.
For things like access, screening, lighting, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Those bulk requirements that we can control through the zoning ordinance, just keep in mind as the commission that any of the by right uses that still would be permitted, the Board of Supervisors, once they rezoned it, cannot take those uses away in the by right area. And then the SUPs, they'd still be coming back. So any of the ones that the community still has concerns with, and again, we're trying to be respectful of the applicant, any of those in the by right category that are still up, and the majority of them, Mr. Zambito's mentioned, were in the by right category. So the commercial amusements was the only other one, I think, in the SUP that they had a concern with. Again, those are, once you get I-1 conditional zoning, the uses that you proffer are there forever.
And that would be, are we in the discussion today?
Yes.
Right. So my biggest concern is, you know, I actually agree with Mr. Ryan. Was it Mr. Ryan or Mr. Joseph? I got to.
Ryan.
Mr. Ryan, okay. Mr. Ryan, I think a bad decision was made when this was zoned residential. Knowing that this was an area that there was already some industrial and others, but it's now a fact. We have these houses here, and we need to take consider. And my biggest concern is the very use that caused the most problems for the neighbors is left in as by right. And I think that's a significant concern and a fair, it's not a theoretical concern. It's that we had a significant problem, which why I asked about the backup alarms easily. We had problems with the traffic, so the use that was that caused the problem is still a potential problem in the future. So I think that's an issue.
And staff's comments are, Mr. Robinson, I did review some of the issues prior to coming to the meeting, and those were the things. The pipeline contractor storage yard and the power company. Now again, remember, I will, from the applicant's perspective, I will say some of those can be only 12 to 18 months. If that's 12 or 18 months next door to your house.
If it wakes you up two nights in a row at midnight, that's enough.
Yeah. They are, a lot of those are itinerant, temporary uses, and temporary for some can be, 3 months is okay, and 12 to 18 months is too long. But again,
that's certainly a legitimate concern.
I'm surprised, actually, back then, and I wasn't involved in that back then, when it was actually allowed to be built there, that it was right next to Cogner Brothers. I call it Wrecker Yard.
Let me just say that I'm the only one around that was here when that was done, but nobody asked me.
But it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life now. So as Mr. Ryan said, we have to somehow figure out how this all works together.
The uses need to be made compatible.
Yes. And like I said, my biggest concern about the contractor storage yard is that's a demonstrated, has been a demonstrated problem in the past. It's not theory. It's not, this might be a problem. It was a problem. So it has the high, in my mind, has a high potential for continuing to be a problem if that use is left in there and potentially could be used.
My question is, they're explaining to us what they actually want to do on this property, and I don't see how that one use has anything to do with what they're telling us they want to do.
Well, that's true, but what the applicant intends to do now,
right,
is simply a plan, and plans can change.
Yes.
And what's not going to change is what uses are permitted and not permitted. So you certainly should anticipate that the applicant could change its mind and decide that a contractor storage yard, for example,
or four owners down the road might change their mind.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be immediate.
Yeah.
It could happen. So it's a legitimate concern. Now, I would just point out to you that there's at least some measure of amelioration you could do with that, with some substantive regulations of the ordinance and the site plan process. So even with a use permitted by right, you would have to do things like improve the entrance so that you don't have that traffic congestion caused by big trucks. That's
that doesn't well explain why we had the problem.
Well, it was just simply they just did it. They didn't ask to have anybody approve the entrance. And this entrance has been there long enough that I don't think I'd be very surprised if anybody ever approved
it. Oh, I'm sure.
I know the county did.
I think that entrance was there before we ever had it.
No, I'm sure it was.
And one other question to clarify something earlier, that no matter what we do tonight, this still goes to the Board of Supervisors. Okay, because I think in the presentation a while ago, Mr. Ross said that it would. But I think it would go, no matter what decision we make, it still goes to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, one thing you could do, in line with what you talked about, one thing you could do if you thought it was appropriate to make a comment on the recommendation that you have some concern about whatever uses you're concerned about, and identify those. Now, that doesn't mean that the applicant, if you consider them to be absolutely controlling, then you should recommend denial. If you consider that you would be more comfortable if it were to be eliminated, you can make that as a comment. Or you can simply just proceed. The provision of the ordinance for development would be sufficient. And I think you could do any of the three of those.
Okay, we have any more questions of anyone involved? We've discussed it a lot. We've seen things that we think need to be addressed and so forth like that. I will open it up now. Does anybody have a motion?
I
say if you chose to recommend approval, but were concerned, wanted to express your concern about certain uses. That is, you might say, I move the Planning Commission to recommend approval of ZMP 1902, a request to amend the zoning map, et cetera, to conditionally rezone the same from A1 agricultural to general to I1 industrial limited with proper conditions dated January 2, 2020. In addition to the foregoing, the commission notes that it has residual concerns about the following uses permitted by right, which would be permitted by right, and then list those.
So how would I say that if I were recommending denial as long as these things are still permitted uses?
You're recommending denial, you just recommend denial. You know, staff's certainly going to report what your recommendation is to the board, and certainly been discussion of these items. I'm sure you can rely on Mr. Miles
to
bring that forward.
We can do that. It's just Chairman Fields, sorry, but I would like to say I'm in agreement with Mr. Payne's original styling of the motion to list the land uses that the community has mentioned and allow the applicant the next few weeks to, you know, to file amended proffers.
To consider
amended proffers.
What that would do is it would be an expression by the commission that you think the application in general has merit, but you have concerns about it, and you would alert the board that you do have those concerns. You wouldn't give the impression that you think this is, you know, a perfect application, nothing could be better. Let the board address that and give them an opportunity to address it.
The tentative date to be heard by the board is the 18th of March.
March 18th. I could read some of the uses that Mr. Zambito mentioned from the HOA, if that helps. Ones I've wrote down. Mm-hmm. So the beyond what are currently proffered out, I had from the public comments were automobile sales, recreational vehicle sales, the one we talked about, contracted storage yard, lumber yards, which are very similar, moving lumber and equipment around a yard. The one that Mr. Harry Austin's agreed to right now is solid waste collection facilities. It matches the one, a similar one in the SUP. And then under the SUP part, commercial amusements.
Did we ever figure out what that meant? Did we ever say
that? I can pull that up from the ordinance.
I suspect it doesn't mean the next case dimension.
It's not the next case.
I think that the economic development coordinator would be prepared to retire if he got dominion.
Very, very short roller coasters.
Very short.
Maybe very tall, but very compact.
So, commercial amusement is the provision of entertainment or games of skill to the general public for a fee as permitted by law. Games of skill for commercial amusements are usually found indoors. We have a fair amount of them prevalent in Virginia now. They're basically, I think the General Assembly has worked on this at some point, but it's indoor commercial, or lack of a better word, online gambling, calling it skill.
Well, you know, you might actually have some things that are games of skill. Yeah. The thing that occurs to me, and I'm not going to let you keep this out, would be things like batting cages. I think that would be included in the definition.
So batting cages.
Would this be
don't forget go-karts.
Similar to, like, that place?
place in Charlottesville, the kids bouncing places. Would that be considered?
Yeah, like bouncing
like houses.
Yeah, you know, like inside with
the trampoline, bouncing place, jumps.
Oh, okay. Is that included in that type of?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Entertainment or games of skill, you know, general public.
But we also know that that's one of the things that they would, yeah, they would consider that they don't feel it's suitable there. But just, you know, some things that maybe type of stuff that you could put inside that may not even bother the public. So you got such of a,
right,
a broad thing now.
Yeah, and so that was our goal in the whole process of working with the applicant, is to get as many potential by right, especially by right uses inside that existing building, because it cuts down on outside activities. I mean, you're still going to have accessory things that are screened from you, but you're not, you know, producing and doing these outside all the time. Like a contractor's shop, contractor's yard or lumber yard, that's what they do. Their bulk of their business is moving things around the yard, and it leaves the facility, or more comes in to be moved around. So we would, the staff would encourage, and we did encourage at the time, those to be taken out of their line. So that's our recommendation. But they have 30, basically they would have 30 days to consider, you know, refiling their property, so 21 days to do that.
They wouldn't have to do it.
They wouldn't have to do it.
Oh, I understand.
But the point is, this a recommendation of this sort would recognize your expression of what you consider to be virtues as well as the shortcomings of the application. And I think that was helpful to the board.
And the board could make a completely different decision than we did, regardless of what we did. So anyway, back to, do I have a motion one way or the other with conditions or anything?
First option, which was acknowledge that there are potentially some merits for this, so move this be approved, but then add some concerns about various still available uses in the property. So that's my intent. At the end of all this, if I don't get that right, please suggest how I could make that happen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So I would move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZMP 1902, a request to amend the Flavanna County zoning map with respect to approximately 7.5 acres of tax map 4, section A, parcel 27, to conditionally rezone the same from A1 Agricultural General to I1 Industrial Limited, with the proffered conditions dated January 2nd, 2020. And in addition, I would suggest that these uses remain a concern and have the potential to unduly impact the neighboring properties. Auto sales, recreational vehicle sales, contractor storage yard, lumber yards, and a solid waste collection facility.
I think you correctly expressed
your intent. I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer for approval with concerns about certain things that are still in there. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. I have a second by Ms. Mary Key. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0 with concerns. Okay, the next item is the ZT8-1904. This is a vehicle impound facility zoning text amendment change or addition.
So, Chairman Bibb, members of the commission, so this is now a county-wide zoning ordinance amendment. It is related to what we just went through with this case. But the proposal is, as the applicant's representative indicated, nowhere in our current zoning ordinance can you do basically towing or vehicle impound facility. Over the history of the zoning ordinance in the county and most localities, auto repair, auto sales, all those kind of things, are towing is an accessory. We would like to, we're proposing as planning staff, this allows the zoning ordinance to have a vehicle impound facility use that is more restrictive than the old-fashioned scrapyard, junkyard, but it's also modernizing the use to be what the current market is doing is tow trucks that kind of gone away, and I'll show those in the slides. And it's now more vehicle recovery vehicles, rollback trucks, very much fancier ones than I have them here. But and that's really where the industry is going. That's where they're on police and sheriff's department call lists to be able to go out and pull the vehicles out of the harm's way in the right of way. And it really becomes indirectly part of the public safety process. So again, we saw earlier in the rezoning case, this is the auto repair service definition, and towing as an accessory at this point. And throughout time, from the 50s onward, the modern, the tow truck, this is your standard tow truck. The dolly, taking that back and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So the automotive land use history or in this region is where are the tow trucks operating out of now or even going forward. It's been in the city of Charlottesville, Albemarle County. Where they're located and our concern from an economic development process also is they're housed outside the county and taxed outside of the county, and they're operating in the county. Let's look at our corridors to see if we can get them into the county in a proper way. So the motor vehicle operators that's coming for you in this case and other cases that can be in the 250-15-6 corridor, any near Scottsville, what have you. And a lot of the times they're locating in those areas to serve mainly I-64. And then they could be commercially taxed in the county. And that type of truck and numerous ones if the tow operator owned them would be housed and taxed in the county by our Commissioner of Revenue and the Treasurer's Office. So what we're proposing is the vehicle impound facility definition. This, just like the automobile service repair definition that's currently in the ordinance, this would be added as a definition in land use. So it is the temporary screen storage of operable and lawful vehicles and claimed, as we said earlier. So again, so around Virginia and basically central Virginia, vehicle impound facilities in a lot of cities and urban counties are used to impound vehicles that have been left along public roadways or in rare cases have not paid their personal property tax of those vehicles. And some localities have tow operators, well, not in cities, they boot vehicles, but in other localities and rural areas, suburban areas, they actually tow the vehicle and impound it until the personal property is paid. So we're not proposing that here in this ordinance amendment, but just trying to give you an understanding that long term, if we do have collection problems in 5 to 10 years, that's usually what is done. What I'm really talking about is the second part. They're used by private vehicle recovery operators. so they would have a proper facility to temporarily store the damaged vehicles that they pull from the road, so that they can be, have the insurance claim adjusters come out, take a look at them, do their paperwork and have those reported back. It's in that it's either totaled or put back on the road through the process of auto repair. What we're not talking about, which what we were mentioning earlier, is salvage and scrap yards. So facilities, and this is a definition from the current zoning ordinance definition section. Facilities engaged in the storage, sale, and dismantling of other or other processing of uses or waste materials which are not intended for reuse in the original forms. That is I too with an SUP, and that is LKQ, Amber Hill, all that went on a few years ago behind there. So typical land uses like this are retail, wholesale, mainly wholesale now, of the used auto parts. They're placed up onto racks, they're categorized, they're not just laying on the ground. So that's not a vehicle impound facility because there's a time limit, does not allow for disassembly of autos because the process is to document them and get them out, not to keep them there and sell parts. So the proposed zoning text amendment before you is to add the vehicle impound facility as the use in the zoning ordinance and to further define it for the vehicle recovery operators to do that. Where is that found? So in the special use permit portion of the A1, the B1, and the I1 zoning districts, and then in most zoning text amendments, we always try to look for a district that you can make as a by right use, and where that would be found as a good by right use is in the I2 district. Of course, with proper either way, SUP or by right, this landscaping and screening has found as a temporary storage. And that is the zoning ordinance amendment that I have before you all tonight. We did talk about it in the work session last month, so I know some of this was repetitive for you all. I did adjust some of the language, but I was mainly also trying to let the community in on what we were proposing. So the text amendment, we feel, would offer up a lot of opportunities by SUP mainly for folks who may want to operate just the vehicle impound facility, and not a lot of the industry is getting away from the scrap yards and salvage yards. So, and then the racking systems, they're major corporations doing, not just your mom and pop, dad and son operations that we've had throughout the time. So that's all I have on Chairman Dave. If you have any questions.
This is actually doing a lot, putting more clarity to the previous ordinance where it wasn't very clear what it was saying.
Exactly.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Miles? I know we discussed this in our December the 15th and so forth like that.
I've got one quick question. Is the available by special use permit in A1, B1, and I1, is that common for other counties around here?
It's yes.
Quite expansive to me.
Yes, it is.
That's common.
Yeah, and I worked with Mr. Payne and on this. My previous locality, we had a lot of the same issues, like I mentioned at the end of the work session last month. They're all in the cities around my locality I worked at before, and they were all housed and taxed there, Chesterfield, Petersburg, Colonial Heights, Hopewell, all around us.
But in A1 districts.
But in A1 districts, occasionally in A1, it's mainly, we mainly experience it in B1. Along 460 and 301, some of the corridors like 250 and somewhat 15 here. So A1 would be maybe down a suitable site down on 6 adjacent or near Scottsville or something. Or also in process of doing this and finalizing this, had something come across so on my Facebook feed that there's a new operator in Buckingham County in Dilwyn, who he's now, I assume, got approval from, it's a rather new, brand new tow truck. So even in our neighbors to the south are starting to do it. So that operator is brand new tow truck, brand new recovery vehicle. I think it's a good opportunity for us to try this and have gain some revenue from it and have a service. Because again, just tow truck calls for service. When the public safety folks and sheriff's department and fire and EMS, Mr. Lagerman, Seaman, they're probably the third op. We get the fire truck arriving, the sheriff's arriving, and then maybe the tow truck, well, the ambulance if there's any medical issue. I mean, and then you have the tow truck to clear the scene. So, I mean, they're right there in the whole process. So the closer we can have. Oh, I know. I'm sorry, sir.
All the various zoning districts, but I think you answered that well. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, we were trying to do the zoning ordinance text amendment to put them in there and not have to come back and do them later.
What happens? And maybe I don't know, but it's for up to 30 days, no longer than 30 days. How would it be tracked that this storage area is not keeping a vehicle longer than 30 days?
In the general practice in the industry, they're usually policing themselves, but if we had a bad operator, again, it's an SUP, so if they're not meeting the requirements of the timing and storage of the length of those vehicles, we visit them, maybe impractically if we see that the yard is getting full. It's now becoming de facto scrapyard or junkyard, correct? So then we would say you're not meeting your conditions of your SUV. Because the timing now in the I-2, again, just like we went through the I-2, would be much tighter because it is a by right use. Our thoughts as staff is that the I-2 is a very valuable piece of property, not just diminished B-1 or I-1. Most people are probably not going to, most landowners are not going to do that. And then the key for me is researching this. A lot of times the operators are not going to get paid unless the people complete the transaction for the insurance company. The vehicle is either totaled and sent to a proper facility or it's returned to a body shop or somewhere to be fixed. So it's left the impound facility.
Anybody have any more questions? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We will open the public hearing at this time for ZTA 1904. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on this matter, please come forward, state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public hearing for ZTA 1904 at this time and open up for discussion by the Planning Commission. I think we had planning discussion last month about this, and we knew this was coming to us and so forth like that. And we did have a little bit of input and so forth like that. Anybody have any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZTA 1904, an ordinance to amend Chapter 22 zoning of the Urbana County Code by the addition definition under 22-22-1, definitions, uses permitted by special use permit in A1 zoning under 22-4-2.2, in B-1 under zoning 22-9-2.2, and in I-1 zoning under 22-11-2.2, and uses permitted by right. And I-2 zoning under 22-12-2.1 to permit a vehicle impound facility.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Mary Key. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Largesino, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. It is the zoning text amendment. We're recommending it goes to the Board of Supervisors for final approval. Is that correct?
Yes, and you should note that this is an independent application. So that rezoning and approve the text amendment, or vice versa.
Thank you. Okay, if we go on, the next thing on our agenda for tonight is a site development plan, SDP 1918, Mechanical Building Solutions. Mr. Robinson will make the presentation.
We're switching up on the slides.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a site development plan, number SDP 1918, submitted by Mechanical Building Solutions. And before I go, I'll just mention that I put a letter at each of your stations there. This is a letter that we received today, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But this is a site development plan request to construct an office building on Tax Map 592, which is 0.957 acres. You should recall that this property was rezoned recently back in September, October. And so the parcel was formerly zoned A1 and it was rezoned to B1. And it's located within the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. The parcels around it, as you'll see on the zoning map, the property is still currently surrounded by A1 zoning. So that's the location of the project within Pleadanna County up at Zion's Crossroads. This is an aerial image of the property. Showing, if go back to the aerial, I'll just mention that the aerial shows there's an existing building on the property. But I'll just mention that that structure has since been demolished since the rezoning request was approved. So if you were to drive by the site right now, you would see nothing on the site. And then that's the zoning map. So the subject parcel there in the pink is the B1. And this is the applicant sketch plan. It's still pretty similar to the concept plan that you saw at the time of the rezoning of the property. The applicant's representative has added some additional notes and whatnot. So to recap, what's proposed on the property is a 90-foot by 50-foot office building. Along with the office building, there will be parking and gravel storage areas. There, the property currently contains two driveways. One has been used more regularly than the other. The other is more so grass. VDOT has stated that driveway, which is the northern one, they recommended or asked that be closed and removed. The other driveway will have to be upgraded to commercial standards. And as I mentioned on the zoning map, so because the property is surrounded by A1 zoning on three sides, by the ordinance it does have to meet a 50-foot building setback from those three sides. And as well as provide some screening on those three sides. Now, the applicant did submit a variance application back in November and was desiring to reduce the building setback, to reduce that 50-foot building setback, and that application was withdrawn. So the concept plan that you have tonight is meeting the county setback requirements. And the last bullet on the screen, that pertains to the letter that I passed out. Since you received the staff report in the packet, we realized that because of the B1 zoning, there's a requirement that sidewalks be provided on both sides of the roadway. So the applicant has provided a letter requesting a waiver from that. So we do have a motion provided should you decide to act on the waiver request tonight. So to conclude, this is a sketch plan to construct a new office building. The project appears to meet our requirements at this time. They'll have to file a final site plan moving forward. And staff recommends approval of site development plan 1918, subject to the three conditions in the staff report. I believe the applicant is here this evening.
Yes. Okay, anybody have any questions for Mr. discussion needed in planning? It's a site plan and don't have to have a public hearing. Okay, if there's no questions or discussion, do I have a motion?
I move to approve SB 2019-18 site plan to request to construct an office building with respect to 0.957 acres of tax map 5, section 9, parcel 2, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, have a motion to accept SDP 1918. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second from Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, the next item is this asking for a waiver for the sidewalk for this parcel. Do you need to make any more comments about that, Mr. Robson? And now all the property around is A1, right?
Correct.
So it's surrounded by only A1. Do I have a motion about the approval or denial or deferral of the sidewalk waiver?
Well, I would move we approve a sidewalk waiver to SDP 1918, a sketch plan request to construct an office building with respect to 0.957 acres of tax map 5, section 9, parcel 2, pursuant to County Code section 22-23-6.6A.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the sidewalk waiver by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second by Ms. Mary Key. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
We do have some unfinished business. The 2020 bylaws, the rules of procedure, and although we discussed the 2020 meeting calendar, we failed to vote on that. So I think Mr. Miles is going to bring those.
Yes. So we, the bylaws, there was a request for staff to go back and look at the gender of he, she, and they, and Mrs. Porter and Mr. Robinson went and looked through all that. And we found that, for the most part, it was gender neutral or appropriate for that throughout the bylaws. Now, for you all in chairman and vice chairman, those type of things, we have it now as chair and vice chair in there, as opposed to, I think, before it was chairman and vice chairman. Some of those things have been updated, and then to refresh your memory also, the main change in the bylaws this go around was to insert or add that information about if there's inclement weather and the county administrator closes the county early, then the meeting would be canceled and everything would be scheduled for the next planning commission meeting. So you all wouldn't have any ambiguity, wondering if the meeting was going to be held that same day that the county closed. Now, and just to remember, it's not always about snow or ice or that kind of thing. Power outage. We have a power outage in the building, and it's in July, and it's like 80 degrees in here. So that's happened before too at other localities. We've had to reschedule a meeting. So that being said, I would ask that you all consider adopting your 2020 bylaws.
Do I have a motion to accept the 2020 bylaws?
I move that the Planning Commission bylaws and rules of procedure for 2020 be adopted due to the scheduling of meetings and work for inclement weather time.
Okay. I have a motion by Ms. Mary Key to accept that, plus the dates of the meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have you second by Mr. Lardacino? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. we have to do the meeting, since that was included in there about the meeting calendars, so we've still got to do a separate one for the meeting.
I think that would be advisable.
Okay. We had a discussion about the meeting calendar, and they passed out copies for us to have for our refrigerators or wherever we wanted to put them. So we need to vote on.
Yeah, an uninteresting refrigerator was good.
Huh?
Yeah, an uninteresting refrigerator.
Well, I've got a lot of stuff on my refrigerator.
Nice magnets gathered up on me.
Yeah. And I do have mine on my refrigerator. Plus pictures of lighthouses and grandchildren and so forth. So, do I have a motion to accept the meeting calendar as presented?
I move that the Verona County Planning Commission adopt the Planning Commission 2020 regular meeting calendar as presented.
Do you have a motion by Mr. Lagacino to accept the meeting calendar as presented? Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Johnson. He beat you by a millisecond. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Okay. Next item on the agenda for the night is a second of two public comment section. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on any item or anything going on in the county, please come forward, state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the second public comment section. And if there's no objections, fast. Okay. Have a question by Ms. Mary Key before we adjourn.
I just want a clarification when we talked about the inclement weather. So if we, whatever we have on the agenda, the following meeting, we would be doing all the meeting at once. So in other words, if next month's meeting got canceled because of inclement weather, we already had a schedule for April. Mm-hmm. We would just have a more extended meeting, but we would have everything done
from
that
meeting.
Okay.
So like if you had two cases tonight and this meeting got canceled, and you had two the next meeting already scheduled, you might have four cases.
Okay.
We could do it as a special, I'll call a special meeting.
You could have a special meeting, or you could have, you know, maybe the NAFCA can't be here next meeting, but you could be there at the meeting after that.
Okay.
So, you know, what you said is what I would call a default position.
But if the meeting got canceled, we would have to re-advertise the special call.
Yes.
Or just hold it to the normal advertisement of the next
right.
month.
Right, the meeting dates that you all just approved.
Right. Either there, you can just go out and buy four-wheel drive and good snow tires, and worry about
it. Well, that's a pretty big one.
Send the sheriff to pick us all up.
Okay, if there's no other business that we need to conduct tonight, and if there's no objections by the Planning Commission or staff or the attorney, we will adjourn at 8:39.